And so Romans chapter 6, verse 4. Romans chapter 6, verse 4. Romans chapter 6, verse 4. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Of course, this here is talking about the picture of baptism, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But it says here, he was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father. And in Ephesians chapter 1, we'll move over there, Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. And then which he wrought in Christ. Remember, this is the God of Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, which he wrought in Christ, verse 20, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. So the first blank there, the resurrection of Jesus Christ was accomplished by the power of our triune God. He was raised by the Father. By the Father. John chapter 10. John chapter 10, verse 18. Jesus speaking to his disciples, he says, verse 18, no man taketh, speaking of his life, therefore doth my Father love me, because I, verse 17, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. In verse 18, no man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment I've received of my Father. So he was raised by his own power, his own force. Does Jesus Christ have the power to raise himself from the dead? Absolutely. Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. Jesus Christ created the heavens and the earth. Jesus Christ is before all things. And finally, we see in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Verse 11. Well, let's look at verse 10. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit of life, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. Remember, when we get saved, when we trust Jesus Christ as Savior, the Holy Ghost comes and resides within us. Jesus said in John chapter 14 that he would not leave us comfortless, that he would send the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of truth. And he dwells in us when we get saved. And he dwells in us forever. Okay? It's not until we sin real bad or until this happens or that happens. Jesus said that he dwelleth with you forever. And here, though, that Holy Ghost is called the Spirit of Christ. How could it be the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of Christ? Because it's a triune God. It's the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of the Father. And sometimes it's hard. We can't do it because it's supernatural. We cannot delineate it and get it all fit together. But we know that the Word of God does not lie. And if the Bible says that it's the Holy Ghost, and he also says it's the Spirit of Christ, then it's the Holy Ghost and it's the Spirit of Christ. And it's not for us to quite understand that. But he was here in verse 10. Okay, thank you. I was over on the other page. Wow. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Jesus Christ was made alive. He was quickened by the Holy Ghost. And we'll see that again in 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. So he was made, Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus Christ was accomplished by the Father, by the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Jesus told his disciples to baptize in the Father, the Son, and in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and the Holy Ghost. It's a triune God. And Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and that is why we're here this morning. Because of Jesus Christ. Here's the deal. We know that the death of Jesus Christ, he shed his blood on the cross, and his body was broken on our behalf. But I maintain that we probably would not be here this morning just, and please forgive me for the way I'm saying it, but if it was only because of the death of Christ, we probably wouldn't be here this morning. Because there were a lot of people that were crucified. And Jesus was crucified not for himself, but on our behalf. But in the annals of history, he would have been one of many that were crucified. Would have been crucified. But Jesus Christ is the only one that rose again from the dead. And because of his rising from the dead, the disciples turned the world upside down. Because of the rising from the dead, there were over 500 witnesses that saw him. And because of him rising up from the dead, that's why the church that preaches and teaches the Word of God prevails today. That's where the hope that lives within us is because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The resurrection of Jesus Christ showed that Jesus defeated death and that he has eternal life. That's why he's the only one that can give eternal life. And that's the only reason we got it, is because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The results of the resurrection of Jesus Christ resulted in, that's sort of redundant or repeated too, huh? The results of the resurrection of Jesus Christ resulted in, let's go to Romans chapter 1. I didn't even notice that sentence I typed out till just now. The results resulted in, well. Romans chapter 1. Verse 4. Verse 3. Concerning his son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David. Of course, Mary come from the lineage of David, and so did Joseph, even though he wasn't the father of Jesus, according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. The affirmation and declaration of Christ's power. The result of Jesus Christ rising from the dead also resulted here, declared to be the Son of God, but the Son of God with power. He had power over death. He had authority over death. What's the second one? The results of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 8. Let's go to chapter 8. Verse The affirmation and declaration of Christ's power. Verse 34 of Romans chapter 8. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. So, to fill in the blank, making his intercessory work possible. Intercessory work possible. Jesus Christ is our intercessor, making intercession for us. What is an intercessor? It's a go-between two parties trying to reconcile differences. And so Jesus Christ is our mediator. He's our intercessor. And intercessory prayer would be like me praying for Brother Bill and his sore muscles. Well, Christ is our intercessor, if you will, with our Father in heaven. Because even after we get saved, we're stuck in this flesh and we sin. And Jesus Christ, our advocate, goes to the Father. Jesus Christ, our intercessor, goes to the Father. And he reconciles us. He says, hey, I paid for his sin. I paid for her sin. They're washed clean. As our intercessor on the cross. Remember, the high priest was the intercessor for the people of Israel to God. He would take that offering and go to God with the offering of the people as a go-between between Israel and God. And Jesus Christ is our intercessor today as a go-between. He was our intercessor on the cross with his sacrifice, with his precious sacrifice, with the sacrifice of his precious blood, of the Lamb that taketh away the sin of the world. Jesus Christ, our intercessor. So the results of the resurrection, the affirmation and declaration of Christ's power would make his intercessory work possible. And then look at Psalm chapter 16, verse 10. Psalm of David, and it says in Psalm chapter 16, verse 10, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One, capitalized letter, to see corruption. This is a looking forward to Jesus Christ 3 days in the heart of the earth. Remember, Jesus said that as Jonah was in the belly of a fish for 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth for how many days and nights? 3 days and three nights. Jesus Christ went to hell for 3 days and three nights. But it was prophesied that God would not leave thine Holy One in hell, and neither would see corruption, because, remember, hell is designated into two parts. We see in Luke chapter 16 and how there's Abraham's bosom, and then there's a place of torment. Those who honored God and trusted the future sacrifice of Jesus Christ, but their faith in God, they ended up in Abraham's bosom. The others who did not, who had nothing but contempt for God and hostility to God, they were in the place of torment. Jesus Christ, when he was on the cross, the thief said, Lord, wilt thou remember me? And Jesus said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. So this is this part. So when Jesus Christ went to the center of the earth, into hell, he was over here. He wasn't in the hellfires. There are some people that teach that Jesus Christ didn't finish his payment on the cross, that he had to go to the hellfires for 3 days and continue suffering for our sin. And that's not true. The Bible does not say that. He paid for our sins on the cross once. He said, it is finished. And he died once for all. He did not have to be purged. Why would he have to be purged to begin with? He was sinless. He was perfect. So Jesus Christ went to the center of the earth in paradise. It says, and then he led captivity captive, and he arose again with a new and glorified body. And so that's what this verse is looking at here in Psalm chapter 16, verse 10. The fans blew the page. For thou wilt not leave mine soul in hell. Abraham's bosom or paradise, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. Jesus' body, he arose bodily with a new and glorified body, and his body never rotted, it never corrupted. So the line here would be fulfilled Old Testament prophecy. And we'll look to Isaiah chapter 53 also. Isaiah chapter 53. It's hard to get through the first 5, 6, 7, 8 verses in Isaiah chapter 53. Without, at the very least, being touched, let alone weeping, after we find out how Jesus Christ, the suffering servant, went to the cross on our behalf. So we'll start at verse 3. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him, or we regarded him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. Who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death. Remember, he was with the two thieves on the cross, and then with the rich in his death. Joseph of Arimathea was a wealthy man and gave the tomb for Jesus' body to lay, because he had done no violence, neither was there any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, and he hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail or distress of his soul, and shall be satisfied by his knowledge. Shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors. He bare the sin of many, and made intercession of the transgressors. The resurrection of Jesus Christ fulfilled Old Testament prophecy. Here in verse 10, yet it pleased the Lord to crush him and put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, yet his days were prolonged. How long are Jesus Christ's days prolonged? Forever. He's forever seated at the right hand of the Father. But he had to go to the cross as a sheep dumb before his shearers. He had to go to the cross as a suffering servant on our behalf first. He came to seek and save that which is lost. That's why he came to earth, was to die a cruel death at the crucifixion. But Jesus Christ lives today. And God promised he'd prolong his days forever. Soon, soon, and I say soon, to be seated at the not only at the right hand of the Father, but to be seated on the throne of his father David in Jerusalem. Jesus Christ is coming soon. One only needs to look at the news and reels and things like that. Jesus is coming again. What's our hope? When the missiles start flying, what's our hope? It's not going to be in a bomb shelter. It's not going to be in freeze-dried foods. It's not going to be with 30 rifles and 14,000 rounds of ammunition. Even though I have some of those things. Why? Because I want to be a blessing to people during the latter days before the Lord calls us home. So that we might have a foot in the door to show them the love, the mercy, and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. But my hope lies in none of those things. It can't. It can't. Jesus is coming again. Amen. Oh my goodness. That should get us not only excited, but give us a new vision, a burden for people across this world. Not only did it fulfill Old Testament prophecy, but let's look at Mark chapter 8. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8, verse 31. And he, Jesus, began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. Jesus taught his disciples this. And they still, even when he went to the cross, they had forgotten. When he was resurrected again, they said, for they had not yet understood the words that Jesus spake. But he foretold that he would rise again. So the resurrection of Jesus Christ fulfilled not only Old Testament prophecy, but New Testament prophecy. John chapter 2, verse 19. John chapter 2, verse 19. Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. And he spoke of his, look at verse 20. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. He is going to rise again after 3 days. So not only these things, the results of the resurrection, also resulted in, let's go to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. Prophecy. Acts chapter 17. Verse 31. Because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness. He hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he has raised him from the dead. The same assurance that he raised Jesus Christ from the dead is the same assurance of judgment. There's going to be a judgment day. Our sins were judged on the cross. What we've done for Jesus Christ since we've been saved will be judged at the judgment seat of Christ. That which is wood, hay, and stubble shall be burned. That which is gold, silver, and precious stones will remain and will be judged. The world will be judged at the great white throne judgment. Those things which were written in the books according to their works. And he'll open the books. And he'll judge the world in righteousness. And those that were not found, the names that were not found written in the Lamb's book of life, shall be cast in the lake of fire forever and ever. There is going to be a judgment day. There's an assurance of that judgment day, just like the assurance of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. For the believer, the resurrection ensures Romans chapter 5. Once again, Romans chapter 5, the first 12 verses, you could spend your lifetime studying. Romans chapter 5. Jen.
The assurance of what?
Oh, the assurance of judgment. Judgment. I got a little excited there and didn't quite give the answer out. You're welcome. Romans chapter 5. Let's start at verse 8. But God commendeth, He exhibited His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Verse 9. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through Him, or delivered from the wrath of God. Verse 10, 4, if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. So the resurrection of Jesus Christ ensures our salvation. Our salvation. Romans chapter 5, verse 10. Much more, not only salvation, being reconciled, being called near or brought near to Jesus Christ. Remember, we were enemies before we trusted Christ as Savior. We were enemies of the Father before we trusted Christ as Savior. In fact, Jesus called those who did not have the Son children of the devil before we trusted Christ as Savior. And when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we were called near unto God. We were brought near unto God. We were reconciled unto God. So that's the second slot there. Not only salvation, but reconciliation. We were reconciled unto God. Romans chapter 4, verse 25. Well, look at verse 4, verse 24. But for also to whom it shall be imputed or put into their account, if we believe on Him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who is delivered for our offenses and raised again for our, what? Justification. There's your third one right there. For the believer, the resurrection ensures our justification. Every one of us knows here that we're sinners. Every one of us knows here how imperfect we are, and we really don't care to have others know how imperfect we are. But God knows how imperfect we are. But justification is God's declaration that we're free from guilt. He declares that this believer, that believer, every believer here is free from guilt and sin, is justification because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. For the believer, the resurrection ensures our... let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead. How many here would say, hey, I believe, I know Christ is risen from the dead. Would you raise your hand? I know He's risen from the dead. Praise God, every one of us. Wow. We need be ashamed of that. It's not a fable. It's not a myth. It's Jesus Christ by where we breathe, we live, and we're going to die based upon our trust and faith in Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter, 15, verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection from the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Verse 23, but every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, he's the first one that rose from the dead. The Old Testament saints rose from the dead with a resurrected body. The next event on God's calendar is the rapture, in which we, the dead in Christ, shall rise first. And we which are alive will be and remain shall be caught up together with them and have a new and glorified body. So, the resurrection ensures our own resurrection. Whether we like it or not, we're going to die. And if there was no resurrection from the dead, there'd be no hope. Why are we here? Oh, I know, to pay taxes. You know that sign that used to be on the back of the parts house store. You know, death and taxes. That's all the things guaranteed. No, resurrection from the dead is guaranteed in the Word of God. and 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 14, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you, Paul says. The resurrection of Jesus Christ ensures our own resurrection. 1 Peter chapter 1. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Hope. For the believer, the resurrection ensures hope to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. Aren't you glad we're kept by God and not ourselves? Amen. Wow. Yes. Philippians chapter 3. Turn back to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. For the believer, the resurrection ensures power for living a fruitful and victorious life. We cannot live a fruitful and victorious life on our own. We have to have the power of the resurrected Jesus Christ in our lives in order to overcome. Look at the strength we have. It peters out at the drop of a hat. But not Christ. The resurrection of Jesus Christ ensures, once again, power for living a fruitful and victorious life. As long as we're in Philippians, let's turn to Philippians chapter 3, verse 21. Who shall change? Verse 24, our conversation or our future life is in heaven, from whence we all look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. The resurrection reveals the nature of our resurrected body. It won't be vile anymore. It's vile now, but it won't be. It'll be a body like unto His. First John, we'll turn almost toward the back, almost to Revelation. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. He loves me. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. Wow. For we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as He, or Jesus Christ, is pure. The nature of our resurrected body is going to be like Jesus Christ. It's new and glorified. The resurrection body of Jesus, and this is our last here, was Luke chapter 24. We're going to look at the body of the resurrected Christ. His resurrected body. Luke chapter 24. Mark Luke. Luke chapter 24, verse 39. Verse 38, Jesus says, and He said unto them, why are you troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold, my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see me, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have. So we know that the resurrected body has flesh and bones. Flesh and bone. Nature.
Nature?
The nature of, yep. And then that was flesh and bone. Mm-hmm. What else about the resurrected body? In Luke chapter 24, verse 42, it says, and they gave Him a piece of broiled fish and of honeycomb, and He took it and did eat before them. So this resurrected body could partake of food. How many are glad that our resurrected body will be able to partake of food? I think we are. All right, you could partake of food. Now look at Matthew chapter 28, verse 17. It says, and when they saw Him, they worshipped Him. And of course, these other passages show the same thing. This resurrected body of Jesus could be recognized. Could be recognized. This resurrected body of Jesus Christ was not hindered by natural laws. So John chapter 20, John chapter 20, verse 19. Says here, this spake He, signifying but what death He should glorify God. And when He had spoken, here we go. John chapter 20, verse 19. He says, then that same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. His resurrected body could pass through solid matter. That would be very helpful for my mom. My mom's staying the last couple of days with us, you know, and I don't know how many times I've looked for the keys to her car. So that would be very helpful. We can pass through solid matter. We don't need that key that we locked in the car. So, he could pass through solid matter. Pass. And then also, in Luke chapter 24, Luke 24... Verse 31, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him, because he was recognizable, and he vanished out of their sight. He could disappear. He could disappear, and then in Acts chapter 1, verse 9, Jesus gives a great commission before he ascends. Into heaven. And when he had spoken these things, verse 9, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Defy gravity. Yeah. We got so much to look forward to. We can buzz around. We can go through things. We can eat. What's that, Steve?
I read this week, we'll be like the angels.
Be like the angels? Yeah. I mean, wow. Gravity. Gravity. Yep. All right. Brother Scott Kraft, would you close us in prayer?